Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome to a wonderful Tuesday here. And, of course, it is a wonderful Tuesday if you are counting down to the holidays and you're a fan of Christmas, because you're only 2 weeks away from Christmas. Or it's a really bad thing to find out, oh, gosh, we're only 2 weeks away from Christmas. Welcome to the program. Hugh, what up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. I don't have those Christmas woes. Not with Amazon and eBay doing the things that they do. But no, I don't have those Christmas woes because I haven't bought Christmas gifts in a long time. So there's that.
I see. And I'm not done yet. And normally I'm done like about October. And this year, I don't know. Well, you know why? Because I just got to a point where I can't figure out what in the world everybody wants anymore. Man, as you get older, it gets harder to find, especially when you're talking about like your wife. You know what I mean? She got everything. What does she need?
That's when you got to be creative and give her things like, you know, like sweaters or like, you know, engraved sweaters or cards or something like that. I mean, yeah, I get you. I get that. I definitely get that. But it's one of those things, man, where like it's not so much, it shouldn't be about the material. So I don't think you should worry too much about that. It's about the thought, like putting you, it's more like a situation where you put more thought into the gift instead of like the material side of it.
Right. Well, I mean, I try and listen the best I can. You know, it's not so much hints, you know, at least not direct hints anymore. It's like, you know, during the year when, you know, especially as we get to like fall, she'll say, boy, you know, I really wish I had something, or she'll react to something on TV and I'll start to put two and two together and go, okay, I could get her that, you know, I mean, but man, this year I got like no hints. And Arthur, I don't know about you, but I don't want to actually, you know, say something, or you, or Wendy, you know, I don't want to ask. I don't want to say, hey, you know, what do you want? Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
No. Right, so it's not like I need any more clothes. I still have suits from my Hawks days that I don't really wear unless I go to church or a funeral these days.
Right.
And so it's like, I don't need clothes. I don't need any material things. So I said, I'd prefer to do something for someone else this year. So I think that's what I'm going
to
do.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's something that, you know, I tend to, like, you know how they'll have toys for tots.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
Like, I'll buy a couple toys and I'll just drop them in a bin. Like, you find a bin and just drop them in the bin. I mean, I think for me personally that the best gifts are the ones that are just given, and they're like anonymous ones. You know what I mean? Like, you just give it to somebody, and they don't necessarily need to know who got it for them. Just give it to them and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I feel like Christmas has become so commercialized. And I know I'm going to sound a little jaded. And that's not my point. That's not what I'm trying to do. But it's become so commercialized that we forget what it really means to give somebody a gift. You know, that you put the thought into buying somebody something. And that should be the biggest thing. You know, and I remember telling this story. It was a couple years ago. Wendy remember this. She gave me a Coco. It was like a Coco reindeer. It was just like a reindeer. It had a little Coco, but it had the little reindeer face. And that was it. But it meant a lot. And I kept it for like a year because it was the thought that counted. It wasn't so much so that it was, you know, the Coco. It was just the thought. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, because I had just gotten here.
Well, it was like I told John, Black Friday – I've never, ever participated in Black Friday. And a buddy of mine, Sekou Smith of NBA TV, convinced me to go out on Thanksgiving to buy a TV from Target that was like a 55-inch for $199.
Dang.
And I was like, dude, I don't do that. And he was like, man, come on, let's go. And there were like 30 people in line, and they only had tickets for 10 TVs.
Mm-hmm.
We got tickets 9 and 10.
Wow.
I got the TV. I'm done. I feel I'm done with Christmas shopping. So I'm going to do it for somebody else. Now, I may never participate in Black Friday again because I always swore I would never do that. But I did it this one time.
It is,
and got lucky.
Right. 2 weeks to Christmas, just letting you know, 2 weeks away from Christmas on a Tuesday. this year, which of course means also that New Year's Day is on a Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah, that's not it's a it's like Tuesday's like a weird day to have Christmas, isn't it? I mean, Tuesday.
All depends on who you're asking. I mean, this ain't the first Tuesday Christmas.
I know.
I mean, it's been like, I mean, I don't mind it. Christmas is Christmas.
In 2018.
Yeah.
It was the first Tuesday Christmas.
The first Tuesday Christmas ever. What are you doing, Jesus? What'd you do that for? No. I mean, it doesn't bother me. It's one of those things where it's weird because we have to go to work the next day probably, but everybody else does not have to go to work. Everybody else goes, like, they probably get that whole week off.
But we don't have to work Christmas Day.
But we also get Christmas Eve off, according to the company this year.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. That was an email we got.
We do?
Yeah, we got that email from
I need to start reading my email.
Our previous HR person before she left.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to check that.
Wait a minute.
Oh, well,
that's
Christmas
a conversation.
Yeah, last year we had to work Christmas Day and New Year's Day because of the fact that it was a Monday and it was a Falcons Monday. And it was Falcons Monday coming off the Saints game on Christmas Eve, if you remember, and then the playoff game against the Rams the next week. You know, so it was, you know, I mean, we had huge games that we were coming off of on New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve last year.
I bet Terry wasn't here, though.
Wow.
Wow.
See, that doesn't, like, for me, like, working this job, and well, if you want to call it work, but doing this job, to me, that does not bother me. Because we go to work at 6 in the morning, and we're off at 10. So, to me, it's like, if worst case scenario, we get up, and, like, if I had little kids, we'd be opening gifts about 5 o'clock. So I would miss probably the big gift giving. I would probably miss that. But I would be home for everything else. Like, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, 4 hours. That's a 4-hour day. So it's like I really can't complain. I mean, I really can't.
Well, I'm so used to having worked in the NBA for 23 years. The first thing we always looked at was the schedule
right.
And where we would be on Thanksgiving
Christmas,
and
Christmas. Right.
And more often than not, we were either traveling the day before Thanksgiving or the day after Thanksgiving or the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so you usually just kind of forget about the holidays because you wouldn't be around.
Yeah, because me and you kind of wired the same. Like in football, you're probably practicing on the major holidays or playing a game. It's either one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like it was one of those things where my wife, she would take care of the gifts. She made sure everybody had their gifts and everything. And, you know, she said, okay, well, you know, I got her gift, and that was probably the only one that I had to deal with. But everything else, she took care of that. And that's kind of, I guess I'm still kind of wired that way.
Well, as to, you know, be careful out there. Of course, a lot of, you know, the weather people said that, you know, we could have some black ice issues out there today. So do be careful, especially if you're on back roads, side roads, and out in the, you know, less traveled roads or going over bridges. Do be careful on your way in. For the most part, I thought the interstates were fine today, but I do be careful out there. We don't want anybody to have any incidents. And, of course, you know, it is that time of the year with winter and all that. So we have a whole bunch to get into today. We'll certainly recap the parade of Atlanta United and the festivities and the thousands of people that were down, the throng of people downtown celebrating Atlanta United's MLS Cup. Seahawks last night all but clinched a playoff spot, pardon me, by beating the Vikings in a another, I tell you what, Seahawks have been pretty important. They dismantled the Legion of Boom, and Pete Carroll puts together another team that is now suddenly red hot, and I wonder how much of a threat they are. They might be actually fairly decent-sized threat.
You know, I was listening to the radio this morning. They were saying it's only like they're one of the teams in NFC that has a winning record right now, and it's only 5 teams total that have winning records. Everybody else is like 500.
to be 500 if you're a Falcons fan.
Yeah, most of them are 500. So it's been a down year for the NFC. There's no question about that. But, yeah, I still think that one of the front runners, either the Saints or the Rams, will be the representative in the Super Bowl. Not counting out the Chicago Bears. Not counting them out. And I would even dare to say somebody tweeted this morning and said, I know you're going to talk about the Cowboys. No, I'm not going to talk about the Cowboys, but I will give them their props.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys could be a legit threat because I've always said the key to having success in December and January is being able to run the football. They do a pretty good job of that. Give them props for that. So this could be Jason Garrett's year.
Well, so, I mean, and you just mentioned two teams. John Gruden has built two playoff contenders this year. Think about that. the Bears and the Cowboys, because we know the impact of Khalil Mack on the Chicago Bears. That's the impact that Amari Cooper has had on the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, he's found a home. No question about that. I was telling Arthur this the other day, and you know what's funny? When I was telling it to AT, he didn't respond, so I must have been on the right track. I said, this is the reincarnation of the triplets. When they had Aikman, Emmett,
right,
and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, and when I said it, he didn't say a whole lot. And I was like, man, and I know that was premature of me to say that, but I guarantee you there's some Dallas Cowboy fans feeling that way this morning, waking up thinking like, man, this is when we had Emmett and Troy. Now, Dak ain't Troy. Dak is not Troy. But you got a good running back, and you can have a hell of a receiver in Amari Cooper.
Right, I'd agree with that. Yeah, Dak is not Troy, but you know, Zeke could be Emmett, and Amari could be Irvin. I mean, so you do
little Ewok looking self.
Yeah,
looking like a little Ewok.
And you have Lawrence. I mean, they have some players.
I can't get a Cowboys props without hating a little bit,
I know. But it appears, and this is what we were talking about. I don't know a few months ago, talking about when you get into the playoffs, can 8-8? Well, not a few months ago, maybe a month ago. Can 8-8 get you in? And you know, I said if the Falcons could be 7-7 after they come out of the Arizona game, they'd have a chance. As it turns out, if they were in a position to be 7-7 coming out of this game this weekend, they would have a shot. And so they weren't dead. When everybody was saying, oh, they're dead, they're dead in the water. No, they're not. And, it's over. People were telling me that, oh, it's over. Well, yeah, is it over now, John? Yes, it's over now. Okay? But at that point, it wasn't over. And it was like coming out of the Cleveland game. I said, not over. But people, and now, of course, it is.
Yeah, ain't nobody trying to hit that now.
No.
Ain't nobody trying to hit that. You like if you, it, you, I would venture to say, if you start talking about, because mathematically, technically, the Falcons are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
But if you went into anybody's bar and you tried to have that conversation, you probably will get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Well, like, yeah. You'd be like, why are you swinging on me? Because ain't nobody trying to hit that. Ain't nobody trying to hit none of that.
On the show today, later today, Darren Eales in the 9 o'clock hour. If you're in and out of your car, if you're delivering today, and boy, I have seen more Amazon trucks than I've ever seen in my entire life. Man, those folks are working OT right now. So is the USPS.
They have an Amazon warehouse here that delivers the next day, like a next day warehouse. Amazon is winning. Like in my next life, that's what I want to be, an Amazon truck driver. But I heard the best thing to do is own my own route, because if you don't own your own route, then you don't really make no money.
Oh, really?
But I want to – yeah, somebody was telling me that.
I didn't know that. You can actually buy a route.
Or is that the USPS? One of the two, you get the
– like UPS.
USPS.
There is a
USPS? United States Postal Service.
Oh.
Yeah, USPS.
Pardon me?
Or UPS. Either or.
Or UPS.
It's one of them, but a driver was telling me, You make money when you own your route. Don't ask me, Wendy, why I know this. It was just one of those things.
Wondering how you know when to buy a route, and that's what you want to do if you could do anything else.
Yes, I would like to deliver packages to offices.
Can you be asleep? You won't be delivering no packages.
Yes, I would. I would do.
If you're a Lyft or Uber, do you deliver packages too?
Yes, there's Uber Eats. There's Uber Eats.
Huh?
Uber Eats.
Oh, there is Uber Eats.
So they're delivering.
Darren Eales will be in the 9 o'clock hour today. Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, at 8:20 today. Talking a little basketball. Eales will be talking about the future. And, of course, we all love a parade and some of the sights and sounds of the gathering yesterday as Atlanta celebrated a title. Kind of go back over that and what was a magical moment for the city. Next.
Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
To all those doubters, to all the haters that said Atlanta wasn't a sports city, I just want to use the words of one famous ATLian. The South's got something to say. That's all I got to say.
Darren Eales, team president of Atlanta United. Who is he quoting?
Andre 3000.
Ah.
That's when Suge Knight got in front of, I forgot what was it? There was a Summer Wars show. And Suge
Source.
Knight was, the Source Awards. Yes.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, hey, are you dancing all of the videos? Come over to Death Row. Yeah, that was pretty dope.
All right, we could go out there and quote Charlie Daniels, the South's going to do it again next year. You could do that too. That one I would know. Andre 3000, I probably wouldn't.
Yeah, you just killed the mood right there, John. It's okay. I mean,
I didn't kill my mood. My mood's pretty good.
Yeah, you just killed.
It was a pretty cool parade yesterday. It went down, you know, and it kind of descended. Wendy, you were actually there, and I know we had a lot of people that were part of this. It kind of descended because, according to Mike Connie, because they were, you know, traveling, they didn't block off the roads, and so the supporters just kind of went into the streets, and it became a festival that just kind of went all the way down to the stadium.
It's just kind of like what they do every single home match is when they gather together to march to Mercedes-Benz Stadium an hour before the game. So it just kind of turned into what it's always been. But, yeah, it was a ton of fun. There's a lot of people there, and I was surprised. A lot of kids whose parents let them take the day off work. I mean, it was packed.
You mean Arthur Blank let them take the
day off? Yes, of course.
He probably would send a letter to every school. It must be nice to be that dude, like that dude for real. But no, I saw the videos. I saw some, you know, Instagram feeds and everything. Man, enjoy it. It was a wonderful day. It's always great to be a part of a championship parade. So enjoy it. You deserve it. Your fans, Atlanta United fans. Ride or die fans, they were in it all year long. So, yeah, you deserve it, definitely.
By the way, you're not going to have much downtime because Atlanta United is going to have to get right back to work. They play again in 2 months. I mean, this is not like a real long off season here because of the fact that they qualify for the CONCACAF Champions League, and that begins playing early. Right after the Super Bowl, Atlanta United is going to be playing again. So, you know, it's not like they could take a whole bunch of time down. But right now, let's still celebrate the parade and celebrate last season before we get into next season because the season is so long. All right, so let's start with some of the sound we have from the parade yesterday. Here is Arthur Blank talking to all of that throng of people out there.
It belongs to you, our fans. You're unbelievable. God bless you all. You did an unbelievable job supporting this team throughout the year. I could not be prouder of anything than I am today of seeing you all out here with great diversity and great inclusion. God bless you all and thank you so much. And for Atlanta, a great sports town, a championship, and we'll be back with many more. Thank you. God bless.
There we go. Back with many more. That's what I want to hear. And for Arthur Blank, I am very happy for him, Hugh, that he had a chance, you know, from the, you know, we all know about the bitterness that he had to go through. For what he built with Mercedes-Benz Stadium, what he brought to this city, that he could hoist a trophy in his life is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it's real cool, man. I was thinking last night, two things, and if forgive me for my ignorance. Well, really, one big thing. It was like, how big is that ring going to be? Well, two things, really. And are they going to do they give rings? Because I saw the medallions, but I was like, then the medallions were cool, but I was like, I wonder what that ring is going to look like. And are they going to put the cup on the front of the ring? Like, you know, like all that was going through my head. And knowing Arthur Blank, well, knowing him, not like, you know what I mean when I say knowing him, I don't really know. I ain't broke bread with the man. But you know what I mean? Like being around the man. I'm just thinking like, what is that ring going to look like? I mean, he's going to go like this is his first one. This is his first one. And I'm like, I wonder what his first championship ring is going to look like. Is it going to be big and gaudy? Or is it gonna be? Is he gonna do it like, you know, just nice, classy? I think big and gaudy is the way to go when you win a championship.
It's what everybody does now.
Yeah, it's like, look at me, go big and gaudy, go big and gaudy, right. Go big and gaudy.
All right, here's some more sound from the parade yesterday. Let's run through some of these sound bites here. Here's Brad Guzan.
I'll keep it short and sweet. Huge thank you to all you guys out there. It's an honor to represent this city. Honor to represent this club. We'll be back next year to defend this cup. Thank you.
Here is Carlos Bocanegra, our buddy Los.
By Darren and the rest of the group up here, we couldn't have done this without Arthur's great leadership and his vision. You fans have been amazing to us. The coaching staff, Darren, everybody that works for Atlanta United, putting in a shift, the long hours, rolling up their sleeves and getting things done. The players have been amazing. They love your support. We love the atmosphere. And like let's give it up for the players one more time for Saturday night.
And one more from team captain Michael Parkhurst.
Thank you. I'm going to skip all the thank yous because everybody's been thanked enough. You guys are the best. It feels damn good to be a champion, guys. And we all feel like champions, and I sure as hell hope you all feel like champions. because this cup is ours and this cup is yours. Absolutely. We thank you guys. You guys are amazing. Much love.
You know what's kind of neat, Hugh, is just in 2 short years, 2 years ago we sat here and they announced the team, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know a Miguel Almiron from a Jeff Lorenowitz, from a Michael Parkhurst. Now these guys in 2 years, of course, champions helps, but they're really pretty much household names in this town.
Yeah, and you talk about a guy like Michael Parkhurst, who has went to, what, 4 MLS Cups and lost 4? 5. Well, went to 4 and lost 4. This is his 5th one. Man, that has to feel good. That has to feel good to have that monkey finally off your back. And I another thing I wonder, how was he feeling going into this game, knowing that he's been to 4 of these? And even though you're heavily favored, to be in four of these, AT, and not knowing how they're ever going to play out, that has to be one of those things that it had to be a little nerve-wracking for him. But at the same time, he had to be super excited to be in the situation that he was in.
Yeah, and then, Mike, Connie, and I know that we're still in the throes of this with, celebrating the parade, but Mike Connie tweeting out yesterday and the day before just kind of the updates on the roster going forward, because, again, only Hugh, 2 months off, and Mike noting that they have picked up the options for next year on a number of players, including Greg Garza, and Julian Gressel, Jeff Lorenowitz, Darlington Nagby, Romario Williams. And that goes with all the guys that are currently still under contract, which, of course, is a list like Guzan, Escobar, LGP, Robinson, Miguel Almiron for the moment. He's still under contract. Barco, Martinez. I mean, it goes on. Villalba, Remedy. I mean, so really, if you stop and think about this team next year, notwithstanding the fact you're going to have a new head coach and maybe Miggy's gone, it's possible that for the most part, you could have a team that is, almost identical to the one that just won a cup. You know, maybe with another.
I think that's the idea. That's what you want to keep. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how in a short period of time how this team evolves. I think that's the word that I want to use for this because it's unfortunate that when you win a championship that. Players move on, mm-hmm. Things change, and that magic that you have, it's kind of hard to recapture that sometimes. Mm-hmm. Not saying that this is going to be the case. Don't want to be very careful in the way that I word this because I don't want anybody to feel like I'm trying to diminish this moment because I'm not. I think this is a wonderful thing, and I'm elated for Atlanta United. But at the same time, being a former player, you know that that moment in time that you had that allowed you to get the championship, it changes. And no matter how hard you try to bottle that moment, you have to evolve and change from that moment. Perfect example. You look at the Philadelphia Eagles of last year,
mm-hmm.
and the magic that they had, even when their starting quarterback went down and they were still able to accomplish their ultimate goal. That was a special team. Now you fast forward this year. They've struggled. Granted, guys have moved on. Some guys have tried to step up. They haven't gotten it done. That's the beautiful thing about winning championships and being in that moment. And that's why I stress that you cherish it and you revel in it because everything changes. It's never that same moment. No matter if the same guys are there, that chemistry, it's just something special about that championship year that you look back on and you say, yo, that was great. But you try to recapture that moment, but sometimes it's hard to do.
You know, it's really rare, I think, probably in sports, Hugh, where you would have a coach win a championship and then move on. That's a fairly rare thing that happens.
Yeah. But you know what the great part about this is, John, is that when this team found out that their coach was moving on, Tata Martino, they weren't hindered by it. It felt like Carlos Bocanegra kind of alluded to this. It kind of galvanized the players. So mm-hmm. It was one of those things where they didn't harp on it. They didn't dwell on it. They just went out there and they took care of their business. They made sure that this year was meaningful. This wasn't a wasted year.
Right, a galvanizing moment. And it will be interesting to see because, tactically, will the new coach want to do anything different? I don't know why you would, but, we talked about that. You could just look to the Falcons where we said, hey, listen, this offense is so great 2 years ago. Make sure you don't screw it up by bringing in somebody who wants to change it, and we've seen what's happened.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's the thing, John. If we know the winning formula, but somebody's going to want to come in and for, you know, to a certain extent, they're going to put their stamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to probably be the same way that it was when Tata was here. It's not going to be the same way.
It's not going to be the same way.
So it's one of those things you're going to have to be willing to evolve a little bit because there might be some growing pains. You never know.
And like I say, it's going to start in just about 2 months. Not much downtime for the Five Stripes because they did qualify for the Champions League. All right, when we get back, as Atlanta revels in its MLS Cup, a chance on this Tuesday to get our first look 2 weeks out of Christmas at the Wendy Zone with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24-7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is The Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, do you guys remember last year when Kyrie Irving said that the earth wasn't flat, or the earth was indeed flat and not round?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we thought he was joking, but he was dead on serious. He apologized without really apologizing, but he just apologized to scientists for saying that he believed the earth was flat. Well, we may have another NBA star to criticize today, and I'm talking about Golden State Warriors superstar Steph Curry, because he was on a podcast with three other NBA stars, Vince Carter, Andre Iguodala, and Kent Bazemore. And they were talking about how scientists think they know what sounds dinosaurs made. And Kent Bazemore said a quote, "A bone don't tell you what the sound is." But that's not the part that we should criticize this morning. He believes that the moon landing was a hoax. So they were asking in the question, Curry goes, "We ever been to the moon?" question mark. And the group had a resounding nope. I wish I could play the audio, but there's a lot of swearing in the audio. So the group said like a resounding no. And Curry then replied, "They're going to come get us. I don't think so either." So Steph Curry believes that landing on the moon is a hoax. So he joins Kyrie Irving and on the scientist do not like list this morning.
I will say this, that landing on the moon thing, a lot of people feel that way. So much so that I've been in conversations and you just, like with people that I really like and respect, that when they start talking like that, because they will drop, like, it's one of those things, I guarantee you, when you have one or two friends that probably feel that way, that you just don't know until you have that conversation, that when you drop it, when you say something about going to the moon, they're going to drop all this stuff on you, and then it's going to go somewhere else, and then you're just going to want to stop talking because it's a lot of people. Yep. It's a lot of people that feel that way. I'm telling you, because it's
all those
it's crazy.
Conspiracy theory videos. I know they've moved to YouTube now, but they've made conspiracy videos about landing on the moon, and everyone's about like, oh, the lighting here, or this here, the shadows here. So
and the fact that we've never went back. The fact that we kind of just scrapped the space program. And now you have different stuff. Now, this is not my theory because I know somebody's probably in the car listening to me. You might be one of those people.
Were you on this podcast with Steph Curry?
No, but I'm telling you, Wendy, there has been scheduled moon landings in the next couple of years where people are actually paying to go to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been stories out there where they're trying to actually send people to the moon because that was the next place that people were talking about colonizing. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of went away. So I'm gonna tell you like this. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what's going on, but there's a lot of people that feel that.
All right, let's just clear the air here. The Earth is round. Dinosaurs are real. And how many men walked on the moon? 7, 8, right?
Something like that.
Yeah,
that's all what right. They say.
No. I saw this story yesterday, I just started laughing because I was like, okay, Steph, you want to go down this path? You really do? You're beloved by everybody. Right. Not saying that Kyrie wasn't, but it was like, really?
Yeah, it's one of those things, man, where if you sat down and you had conversations with people, you'd be surprised at some of their beliefs. That's why you keep it out of
Art
all
Bell
stuff
made
out
a career out of it, God rest his soul.
Who did?
Art Bell. Oh, yeah, Art Bell, coast to coast with all the conspiracy people at night.
Oh, the radio guy, yeah.
The late radio Art Bell, yeah.
Well, I'm sure the Warriors probably were saying yesterday, Steph, we didn't need this today, and here's why. If you didn't get a chance to see it, Sports Illustrated named them as the Sportsman of the Year, the entire organization.
Curse?
No, that won't curse them.
Okay.
They're too good.
Way too good. Well, Christmas is 2 weeks away, so there's always that highly touted debate on the best Christmas movie of all time. Now, there is a new study, and it's a pretty reliable study that polled people about their favorite Christmas movie. So here are the top 12, and there's a tie for the number one Christmas movie, and it's a tie between A Christmas Story and It's a Wonderful Life.
All right, okay.
A Christmas Story, that they shot that in Cleveland.
Yes, they shot that in Cleveland.
And It's a Wonderful Life.
Which Jimmy is a
Stewart.
Classic.
It's a classic, but Christmas Story is like hands down.
Well, I was telling Wendy, I hadn't seen Christmas Story before until about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And TBS, I guess, does the loop 24/7.
Yeah, right. It's on a loop.
And I finally decided to, and I liked it. But my favorite Christmas movie, The Preacher's Wife.
The Preacher's Wife's good.
I haven't seen that.
Really?
I'm
Denzel saying. And Denzel,
yeah.
Whitney?
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I will say this. I'm very happy.
I don't like those kind of movies.
I have to say, I'm very happy that my adorable, wonderful wife is not one of these people who likes to sit down and do the Hallmark Christmas movie marathon. Thank God. She does not do it.
Do you do like ABC's 25 Days of Christmas and watch like a Christmas show every single day?
Nah, no. I don't do that either.
No, I do watch the Christmas cartoons.
Yes.
Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah,
when
they're dancing. Yes. Yeah.
Well, here, I can go through the rest of the list. So at numbers 3 and 4, you have Home Alone and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Now, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, my all-time favorite Christmas movie.
Home Alone's on that list.
What about Die Hard?
Die Hard is not in at least the top 12.
Really?
Oh, that's terrible.
So there's a four-way tie in fifth place. So you have Elf, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Miracle on 34th Street, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So all those tied for fifth. And then you have a four-way tie for ninth, so people really can't make up their minds. A Charlie Brown Christmas, A Christmas Carol, Nightmare Before Christmas, and The Polar Express all tied at ninth.
How is the Santa Claus not? I mean,
it's not Jingle All the Way's not on here, John, either.
Who puts Elf on there? Elf stunk. Elf was awful.
I think Elf was past time, John.
I thought Elf was painful
too
to
new.
Watch.
Well, but to Hugh's point, a lot of people will. You talk about debates. A lot of people will debate that Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, they debated all the time on the Midday Show with Rick and John. So they had this debate. Yeah, they had this debate just a couple of days ago. Mark Owens, their producer, claims that the movie came out in July, which makes it not a Christmas movie, even though there's Christmas themes surrounding it.
All right, so it has to come out at Christmas time?
It's a Christmas movie. It's a
Christmas movie. According to Mark Owens, their producer. But I believe Die Hard's a Christmas movie. Die Hard was in the poll of Christmas movies. It just did not make the top 12. Hugh, so I'm very sorry.
No, I'm just, like we were talking earlier, and I just want to say my Twitter now is blowing up with some of the folks that feel like we never went to the moon. they're sending me, like my man, shout out to my man, the Great Seven.
Yeah.
He's sending me information.
Look what you did, Steph Curry.
No, I'm just saying. I have friends, like I've been in conversations, and you'll start hearing stuff about Illuminati and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
That's too heavy for me right now. Yeah. So I'm going to need you to stop talking to me.
Whether Tupac and Biggie are still alive.
Yeah. Hey, TP, they get the TP moment. You know, they get all militant on you. They'll be like, hey, well, this is it. I'm like, listen, man, I don't have that kind of energy today.
It's way too early. It's only 6:50.
Yeah, but shout out to my man in grade 7 because he sent me some info now.
They're listening.
Yes, they are. Thank you very much.
Shout out Steph Curry for our debate on Twitter today. This will be swell.
Yeah, the folks think we didn't go to the moon. Yeah.
And John's up in his feels too. It's going to be a great morning. I'm glad I brought it up.
It's one of those things that makes you want to shake your head. But let's get to the important stuff. Because Dan Quinn was direct and to the point yesterday, standing at the podium. What did he say? We have the audio, and we'll play it for you next. On the Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the game.